How many know this morning that God deserves all the praise, honor, and the glory for all that he's done in our lives? Has he done anything for anybody here at Glendale New Life this morning? Come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the Prince of Peace. Yeah, we've come to worship him. Anybody came with expectancy in this house? Anybody ready for a word in this house this morning? I know it's early. And we come to lift up the name of Jesus and magnify him. And I've come on assignment from the Holy Spirit here at Glenville New Life. Amen. I'd like to honor Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, this morning for allowing him to choose me this day to be able to stand behind his desk and preach a fresh, relevant word for his people. Amen. Amen. I'd like to honor the pastors of this church. Would you give it up for the pastors of this church, Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby? Amen. For supporting the young people and allowing you all to have a youth day. Every pastor in every church does not support the youth. Amen. But you have a pastor that supports the youth and what they're doing. Amen. I'd also like to honor my little brother, Minister Abner, for the invitation, allowing me to come and share a word. Amen. Well, as he said this morning, it is preaching time. Are you ready for the word? Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm ready and excited to be here, and I'm ready to deliver a word from on high that will touch each heart and each mind in this place. Would you bow your heads and just begin to ask God to speak to you through the preached word this morning? What is it that you need from God this morning? What is it that you're struggling with? What are some things you need to lay down and give unto God so that he can work it out? Begin to remove every distraction, every hindrance that would stop you from receiving the word. Because there is a word from the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bible, would you stand with it? Would you lift your Bible in the air and repeat after me and say, "This is my sword. In it dwells life. Now life flow in me." Amen. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 16th chapter? We'll be looking at verses 16 through 26. I understand you all had a great time yesterday with Minister Neal in the house and Minister Abner at the prayer breakfast, amen. The book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 26 through 20. I'm sorry, verse 16 through 26, amen. And when you found the book of Acts, would you shout in a loud voice, "Hallelujah"? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's receive the bread of life. "Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These are men. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out.' At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to practice or accept.' The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight," somebody say about midnight, "Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundation of the prison was shaken. At that moment, the prison doors flew open, and everybody's chains came loose." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, O God, humble as we know how. And God, we seek your face this morning, God, for a fresh, relevant word, O God, to speak to us, O God. Now, Father God, by your power, open up every ear, every heart, and every spirit to receive what thus saith the Lord, O God. God, use me to speak a word, a fresh word, Father God, that will help your people, O God. Encourage them to go another day. Encourage them to walk another day, Father God, for you in your name, O God. God, I pray that I would decrease, that you may increase, Father God. For you said, if you be high and lifted up, O God, God, that you would draw all men unto you. So have your way, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. My brothers and my sisters, as we reflect over this text we just read, we understand that there was a lot going on in this time. We are dealing with three main characters here in our text: a demon-possessed slave girl, Paul, and Silas. Today I want to talk from the subject, as the Spirit shall guide us this morning, on the subject entitled, The Power That You Possess. Look at your neighbor and say, you possess power. I'm convinced that we live in a time where we as believers are not operating under the full power, authority, and anointing that the Lord has placed on the inside of us. We spend time as a body debating about whether there are still signs, wonders, and miracles being performed in the earth. But my Bible tells me that Jesus said, these signs shall follow them, and greater works shall you do. Whether you believe it or not, that signs and wonders still exist on the earth today. If you are a believer in this room, there's no doubt that we can all agree that Satan does exist. Because you cannot believe in God and not believe in Satan. Amen? So while it is that we are spending time debating about the issues at hand, there are people the Lord has assigned you to that through your ministry, that through you they will be set free, healed, and delivered. This thing is about the kingdom. We must guard ourselves and be careful to make sure we are operating under a kingdom mentality. If you look at Jesus, Jesus always operated under the kingdom mentality. It was never all about him, but it was about performing miracles. It was about saving people. It was about baptizing folks. And he always had a kingdom mindset in what he did. So the question I want to raise to you all today is, are you operating in the power that you possess? Look at somebody and say, I got power. I got power. Come on, come on. Help me preach this thing. Help me encourage the person next to you. Say, I got power. Tell somebody else, I got power. Yeah, I got power. We join here with Paul on his second missionary trip, spreading the gospel in the city of Philippi. And it's important to note here that Paul's assignment from the Lord was to go and to tell the Gentiles about Jesus. And Gentiles meaning those who were not Jews. The Romans did not welcome the Jews in their territory, and Paul found himself in enemy territory. And you got to be careful sometimes not to find yourself in enemy territory. There's some things that can happen to you when you're in enemy territory. There's some things that happen to Paul, as we see in the text, when you're in enemy territory. Guard yourself and make sure you're not in enemy territory. Amen. Gentiles meaning those who were not Jews. Paul and Silas found themselves in a place where they were not welcome nor accepted. And the text says that while they were on their way to the house of worship, they were met by a demon-possessed slave girl. Anybody had any trouble getting to the house of God this morning? You know, sometimes the devil will try to rise up and cause distractions and obstacles to come your way. But you got to be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the word of God and keeping focus on Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The spirit within her was not a good spirit. No, it wasn't a spirit of God, but the spirit operating inside of her was a spirit from the enemy. We're not given her name, but we understand that this was a demonic spirit in the inside of her. Notice the text says that they were met by her. All right, let's bring it back. You missed it. Notice the text said that they were met by her. All right, one more time. Let's see if you get it. Let's see if you get it. One, I know it's early. Amen. But the text says that they were met by her. What does this imply? This implies to us that she was seeking them out, that she was lying in wait for them, that she was waiting for them to come through her path so that she might reach out and begin to distract them from their mission. And I don't know about you, but there's sometimes on this walk in the Christian journey where I get distracted on my mission. And I know it's nothing but the enemy that tries to rise up and nothing but the enemy that tries to hinder me from where he wants me to go. But we have to be steadfast. We have to be approaching Jesus at all times, praying at all. Y'all not saying nothing here. Praying at all times and seeking his face at all times. We have to be in Jesus Christ, for it's in him that we live. It's in him that we move, and in him that we have our being. Yeah, may I submit to you today that there are evil forces waiting to seek you out, waiting to devour you. And that's why you must guard yourself. Guard yourself from the enemy. Guard yourself from the enemy. We must understand that there are demonic forces that are operating, and those forces are assigned to you. They're assigned to your health. They're assigned to your family. They're assigned to your finances. They're assigned to your grades. They're assigned to your friends. And you got to be careful. You got to be careful because they're lying in wait for you. And the minute you get distracted, the minute you throw yourself off the path of Jesus Christ, here they come to rear their ugly head at you and begin to try to devour you. That's why in Ephesians he said, put on the full armor of God. Put on the full armor of God every morning you wake up so that you can stand against the tactics of the enemy. This is just like the devil. You find yourself on a mission doing good, and all of a sudden out of nowhere the devil comes out and tries to throw you off your course. This is what happens to Paul. This is what happens to Silas. They were on a mission to get to the house of worship. They were trying to get in God's presence. And as they were pressing into God's presence, the enemy came and caused an obstacle and caused a distraction to throw them off their course. But I like this text, though, because in this case, the devil was messing with the wrong person. Because you see, Paul was anointed. Paul carried his cross. Paul knew what to do in this situation. Paul had already been prayed up and seeking the face of God early in the morning. And when the spirit arises up on the inside of her, Paul, with his anointed self, shouts back, in the name of Jesus, come out. It's evident through this text that Paul walked with the anointing and the favor of God. Paul knew the power that he possessed. He knew the power that he possessed. And the truth be told, today there are many of us who are faced with demonic situations, and we don't know what to do when the enemy begins to rise up and distract us from our call of God. Many of us don't know what to do when an obstacle comes and we're on this path of our Christian walk. We don't know what to do when everything's going the wrong way and nothing seems to be going right. But can I suggest to you that that's why you have to be prayed up. You have to be in this word. You have to be studying this word. You have to participate in worship. You have to know how to lift your hands and lift your voice unto God. Y'all not saying nothing here. Help me preach this thing this morning. God is good, isn't he? Isn't God good? Has he delivered you from anything? Has he set you free from anything? Has he made a way out of no way for anybody in here? Am I the only one in here who I can say God is good? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Many of us don't know what to do. You would say, preacher, aren't we to bow down and pray? The answer is yes, but look at the text. Look at the text. Nowhere did Paul and Silas have the opportunity to stop and to pray. They didn't have the opportunity to stop and fall on their knees. They didn't have the opportunity to go to their prayer closet. They didn't have the opportunity to call on the pastor. They didn't have the opportunity to call on their friends to pray for them. But they had to be already prayed up in the spirit. They didn't have to stop and pray because they were walking in the anointing. They were walking in their armor already, and they already knew who they were in God. Do you know who you are in God? Do you know that you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Do you know you're the lender and never the borrower? Who are you in Jesus Christ today? It's a dangerous thing to live this life and not know who you are in God. It's a dangerous thing to wake up every morning not knowing your purpose in the kingdom. You have to know your purpose. You have to know that you've been chosen for greatness and you've been chosen for destiny. The times in your life when the current situation that you're faced with will be right dead smack in the middle of your face. What do you do when you don't have time to pray? What do you do when you don't have time to call on the pastor? What do you do when you don't have time to call on your friends? What do you do when you don't have time to go to your prayer closet? What do you do in this situation? Anybody found themselves in a situation where you didn't have time to pray? All you could do was react to the situation. All you could do was say, God, I need you right now. One of those short prayers with power. God, if you don't do something right now, God, I don't know how I'm going to make it out of this. The situation in front of me at hand is not what I expected. It's throwing me off course and throwing me in a loop, God. But God, I know that you're there, God. And I know that you're going to provide. And I know that you're going to make a way. And I know you're going to be my friend. And I know you will deliver me. Come on, somebody in here, give God praise. Situations that you don't have time to pray. Got to be prayed up already. May I submit to you today that if you're walking in the power of God like Paul and Silas, then when situations arise in your life, the spirit inside of you will rise up because it's already fully charged. And your spirit will react in a manner that will cause your situation and your circumstance to change. Amen. So that means your spirit should already be fully charged. This morning when you woke up, you came to the house of God to be recharged on Sunday. You come to the house of God on Bible study to be recharged. But can I submit to you today that sometimes you don't have to come to the house of God to be recharged. You ought to be able to be recharged in your house. You ought to be able to be recharged right there where you're at. You ought to be able to be recharged right there on your job. Get yourself recharged and ready to fight this battle, because every day you wake up, people of God, it's a battle that you got to face. Every day you wake up, the devil is seeking whom he may devour. Every day you wake up, you got to be ready to gird your loins with the belt of truth. Every day you wake up in the morning, you got to be ready to shout to God, hallelujah. Every day you wake up in the morning, you got to be ready to give God the praise. Every day you wake up in the morning, you got to be ready to have your helmet of salvation. Every day you wake up in the morning, you got to be ready. You have to be ready. Look at your neighbor and say, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. You don't know what's coming your way next. You don't know what the enemy wants to do to you. You don't know who he's seeking. Y'all ain't helping me here. You don't know. So you have to be ready. Ready. Look at somebody and say, I'm ready, I'm ready. Come on, devil, I'm ready. Come on, come on. Yeah, I got the helmet of salvation. I got my full armor of God on, so I'm ready to fight this thing. Come what may, I'm ready to stand in the gap. Come what may, I'm ready to fight the enemy. You got to be ready. You got to be ready. Look at somebody next to you and say, charge your spirit. Charge your spirit. Charge your spirit today. If you don't do anything else today, charge your spirit. It's a dangerous thing to drive your car on empty. As a matter of fact, I think I might be on E, and so when I leave here, I need to go and get some gas in the car, for my car shuts down, amen. And so it's dangerous to run on empty, and that's why your spirit has to be charged. Because when you're on empty, your spirit will not know how to react to the things that come your way. All right, I'll say it again. When you are running on empty, your spirit will not know how to react to the things that come your way. And that's why you have to be so much into God, so much into the Word, so much saying, God, I need you. God, charge my spirit. God, help me to make it out of this situation, God. Your spirit has to be charged in Jesus Christ. This is what happens if your spirit is not charged. It's on empty. Unless you put some gas in your car, unless you put some gas into your prayer life through the Word of God, it's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing. The girl that had been following them and shouting, these are servants of the Most High God. And it's interesting to point out here, because the demon inside of her recognized that they were servants of God. Let me say that again. The demon that was inside of her, that spirit that was inside of her, recognized that they were servants of God. All right, let's bring it back. The demon inside of her, it recognized that they were servants of God. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying even the devil knows who he has to attack. The devil's not coming after nobody who's not a threat to him, but he is coming after those who are a threat. Those who operate under the Spirit of God. Those who operate under the anointing. Those who operate under the power. Do you have power this morning? Are you packing power in the house this morning? If you're packing power, don't be scared that the devil's after you. But when he's after you, you better be girded up in this word. And you better be ready. Ready to fight. The devil knows who he has to attack. He realizes the power that you possess. You have to know this morning that it's the devil's job to throw you off course. It's the devil's job to make you want to give up, young people. It's the devil's job to make you not want to pursue the things of God. It's the devil's job to make you feel like being a Christian means nothing. It's the devil's job to distract you and to throw you off course. But can I submit to you today that when you're under the will of God, when you're doing the will of God, when you're working for the kingdom, when you have power in your possession and you're operating under the anointing, that even when the devil comes, he's got to run. The devil's got to flee. All you got to do is shout, Jesus! Yeah, all you got to do is shout, Jesus, and there's power in that name. There's power in the name Jesus. Somebody shout, Jesus. Come on, somebody shout, Jesus. I don't know about you today, but I understand there's power in Jesus. There's power to save in Jesus. There's power to deliver in Jesus. There's power to set free in Jesus. There's power to help you get out of your situation in Jesus. But the requirement is to only be in Jesus. Amen. I got some help in the house this morning. Hallelujah. You have to know it's the devil's job to distract you. And the devil's trying so hard to throw you off course because he knows that if you keep fighting, if you keep on pressing into God's presence, despite your situation and despite your circumstance, if you keep fighting, he knows that he's going to be in trouble. You've now become a threat to him. When you show the devil that, devil, I don't care what you say, devil, I don't care what you do, I don't care what obstacle you throw at me, and when you show him that you are that you have faith, that you're full of faith, because the Bible says that what? Without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. And so you got to be full of faith in this battle. You got to be like Paul and Silas. They were full of faith. So he's trying hard and he's pressing and chasing after you because he knows that if he can just get you, then he is in trouble. I don't know about you today, but I love when I can get the devil to think that he's in trouble. Like I said before, come on, devil. I got something for you. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. Come on, devil. I got something for you. But one thing I've come to learn is that when you are a servant of God, God's got your back. When you're a servant of God, he'll keep you under his pavilion. When you're a servant of God, no weapon that's formed against you shall be able to prosper. When you're a servant of God, he'll keep you safe and free from the devil. Anybody a servant in here, just wave your hand at me today if you're a servant of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul, under the anointing of God, turns to the spirit in her and says, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of her. And the text says that at that moment, the spirit left her. Look at that power that Paul had through Jesus. At that moment, the spirit left her. At that very moment, you see, Paul chained, he chained the mouth of the devil. Ha ha. He chained the mouth of the devil. Somebody she got excited right there. Do you not know that we have the power to chain the devil's mouth? That we have the power to say, devil, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth, devil, because God promised me some things. God promised me I'm a joint heir. God promised me that I would be all right. So, devil, close your mouth. When the devil begins to attack you, the Bible says that life and death is in what? The power of the tongue. And all you got to do is begin to confess that thing and say, devil, no, not today. Not today, devil. You're not going to get on my nerves today. And you got to be careful of people who try to get on your nerves too. People will try to distract you. People will try to throw you off course. Your supervisor at your job trying to throw you off your course. Make you want to do some things that are not so Christian. Make you want to do some things that aren't so good. Your friends want to distract you and make you want to cuss sometimes and make you. But we have to be in this word. We have to show the love of Christ. Let your light shine. Look at somebody say, let your light shine. So we have the power to chain the mouth of the enemy. When the enemy says that you will not win the battle, tell him, yes, I can, because I'm more than a conqueror. When he says you're nothing, tell him, yes, I am. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. If your home is out of whack, speak over it and declare order in your home. If your money is acting funny, all you got to speak over it and declare order in your money. And if your children have gone astray, speak over them and declare their return. If your body is sick, speak over it and declare healing in the name of Jesus. God has given us power, and it's time that we as the body of Christ begin to operate under the power that God has given us. I don't know about you today, but I've got power. Do you? Paul was hated on and not welcomed because he was causing change to take place. Paul was anointed and was causing a shift to take place in Rome that was not welcomed. And I need to let somebody know today that when you are anointed and when you are doing the work of God, everyone's not going to like you. Everyone's not going to be on your side. Some people will hate you. Some people will despise you. But stop being scared of the anointing. Church, we can't be scared of the anointing. You say, preacher, why don't be scared of the anointing? Don't be scared of the anointing because it's under the anointing that lives are changed. It's under the anointing of God that people are healed. It's under the anointing that people are set free. It's under the anointing that yokes are destroyed. It's under the anointing that we have the right to declare things that be not as though they already are. It's under the anointing. Somebody say it's under the anointing. Paul had seen the work of God in his life mightily when he was on the Damascus Road. Can I tell you today that the anointing cost a price? It cost a price to be anointed, and that's why we should never wish we were like so-and-so and wish we had the same spiritual gift as so-and-so, because you don't know the price they had to pay. You don't know the price the person next to you had to pay to get to the level that they're at in their anointing. And you see, a lot of people want the anointing of God, but they don't want to go through the test. They don't want to go through the trial. They don't want to endure the hardship. Paul was anointed, but yet in verse 22, look at the text. It says the magistrates ordered him to be beat. All right. Paul was anointed, but yet in verse 22, it says the magistrates ordered him to be beat. Not only was Paul beat and humiliated, but he was thrown in the prison. He was placed in the inner cell. The inner cell was a place where they kept criminals. They were treating Paul and Silas as if they had committed a crime. They were treating Paul and Silas as if they were criminals. They didn't know that all of this was going to happen to them. But can I remind you that Paul and Silas were simply doing the work of God? They were simply doing what God had asked them to do, and they were thrown in jail and humiliated and beat and thrown in prison. But yet, through all of this, they never complained. You don't see in the text where Paul and Silas complained about the situation. But Paul and Silas made up in their mind that the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but it's given to the one who endures. And saints of God, we have to endure the race. We have to endure the hardships. We have to endure the trials and tribulations that come our way. You have to endure. Look at somebody say endure. James 1, 2 and 4, 2 through 4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Paul and Silas, their faith was tested, yet they persevered. They kept pressing. And anytime the Lord shows you something great, you have to know, people, today that there is a process that comes along with it. You won't accomplish the task that God's given you overnight, and the process may seem long, it may seem hard, but there's something that helps you make it through the process. Can I share it with you today? I've discovered that something that helps you get through the process is simply your praise. All right. I ain't got no praises in here, I guess. Come on. Something that helps you get through the process is your praise. Paul and Silas understood they had to praise God all the way. They had to make up in their mind to press toward the mark. And speaking of praise, the text says that at midnight, somebody shout at midnight, they were praying and singing, and other prisoners heard them. You know, it's something about the midnight hour when all seems to be lost and all hope is gone. It's something about a midnight experience that will cause you to want to fall on your knees and pray. It's something about not knowing where to turn to next that will cause you to seek the face of God. I wish I had a witness in here. Anybody had to seek his face lately? Anybody had to know that it's in through him that you live, move, and have your being? I wish I had some praisers here at Glenville New Life who understood that your praise will cause your situation to change, that your praise will cause your friends to come back to you, that your praise will cause your enemy to become your footstool. Anybody in here know that you have to praise God? Praise him in spite of your circumstance. Praise him in spite of your situation. I wish I had a few people in here. Yeah, that would say, yeah, God, I'll praise you. Yeah, I'll lift my hands and worship. I'll open my mouth and declare some things that be not as though they already are. Anybody got a worship inside of their belly? Anybody got a praise inside of their heart? Come on in here and worship God right now. Let me give you a hint. This is a good place to worship him. This is a good place to lift your hands and receive from the Lord. This is a good place to lift your mouth and shout hallelujah. This is a good place to tell God thank you for where you brought me from. This is a good place. Hallelujah in the place. Come on, let's worship him right here. Come on, we're talking about Jesus. We're not talking about me now. We're talking about Jesus. Hallelujah. We have to learn how to worship God. We got to learn how to worship him. Do you know that he inhabits the praise of his people? I'm already going into next service. But he inhabits the praise of his people. And I feel in here, I know it's early, but I still feel that we ought to give God a little bit more praise and worship. I feel that the Spirit of living God needs to flow. I feel there's some people in here who are struggling with forces that have it out for you to devour you, that are seeking you. What kind of power are you packing, Glenville? What kind of power are you packing? I'm just talking to you now. What kind of power are you packing? What are you going to do next time the devil rises up and you don't have time to fall to your knees and pray? What are you going to do if you get a tragic phone call? What are you going to do when your children don't seem to be wanting to do the right thing in life? What are you going to do, young people, when your parents don't want to act right? What are you going to do? Look at somebody and say, what are you going to do? The text says at midnight, they begin to pray. You see, as I was studying this text, I understood that Paul and Silas got on one accord. Hello, hello, lights. I'll speak to the lights. Paul and Silas, lights, they got on one accord. And I need to let the body of Christ know today that if we would just get on one accord, I don't care who your pastor is. I don't care what denomination you come from. I don't care how many members your church has. We all have one thing in common. And we ought to have one common goal in the kingdom of God. We have Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, in common. Amen. And we have one goal, and that's to save souls. So I simply leave you with a question today. What kind of power are you packing? Would you stand to your feet and begin to celebrate Jesus? Come on, let's celebrate Him. Come on, let's celebrate Him. Jesus, Son of the living God.